Welcome to Your Place of Grace with Evangelist Anthony Sluzes. We're taking the message of salvation, Holy Spirit renewal, and healing through the finished work of Christ to the world by every available means. If you'd like more information about Your Place of Grace ministries and our resources, visit yourplaceofgrace.com.
Hello there, my friend. This is Anthony Sluzes, and I welcome you to Your Place of Grace. If you'll pray for me, I'm dealing with an upper respiratory issue today, but we're going to tough it out and we're going to make it through this. Amen. We're talking on the subject of Bible prophecy, and we have been for the past 7 weeks now. And today is no exception, because we're going to be talking about specifically the mark of the beast. So there was a man named Jacob Frankel. And he grew up as one of 7 sons in a Jewish family outside Warsaw, Poland. Now, young Jacob was 10 years old when Germany declared war against Poland. That was in 1939. And Frankel was old enough to remember the German soldiers invading his town and burning down the wooden synagogue that was close to his house. And like so many Jews during that time, young Jacob and other males of his family were eventually shipped off to a concentration camp. Now, for Jacob and his brothers, this camp was Auschwitz. Let me quote from his own writing. He writes, "At age 12, I was put in a group of men to be sent to labor camps. More than a year later, we were shipped off to Auschwitz. The day after we arrived, my brother Chaim and I were lined up with kids and old people. I asked a prisoner what was going to happen to us. And he pointed to the chimneys, and he said, 'Tomorrow the smoke will be for you.' He said that if we could get a number tattooed on our arms, we would be put to work instead of being killed. So we sneaked off to the latrine, then escaped through a back door and lined up with the men getting tattoos." End quote. The Jewish Virtual Library offers an explanation for the use of tattoos. Let me quote from them. "While it cannot be determined with absolute certainty, it seems that tattooing was implemented mainly for ease of identification, whether in the case of death or escape. The practice continued until the days of Auschwitz." End quote. So, dear one, as citizens of this modern world and participants of so-called civilized culture, you and I like to think the Holocaust, well, it represents a time, and the last time, I should say, when a mark will be used for identification as a way of perpetuating evil in our world on such a large industrial scale. But it won't be. You see, Satan plans to use another mark during the Great Tribulation of 7 years. It's called the Mark of the Beast, and its use will be worldwide. Over the years as a pastor and now as an evangelist, I'm often asked a wide range of questions about what the Bible calls the Mark of the Beast and how it might affect the lives of those enduring the Great Tribulation. So let's just look at a few of these questions together. Many Christians today are surprised to learn that the mark of the beast will not be implemented personally by the Antichrist. That's the beast that arises from the sea in Revelation 13:1. Later in that very same chapter, John tells us that this mark will be initiated by a second beast. He calls him the beast coming up out of the earth, who is later identified as the false prophet. While the false prophet will be the implementer of the mark, he will be acting on authority that comes from higher up. As John tells us, and I quote, "He exercises all the authority of the first beast." And where does the first beast, the Antichrist, get his power? The Bible says the dragon, Satan, gave him his power, his throne and great authority. So Satan himself will instigate all this terrible evil of the tribulation period with the Antichrist and the false prophet, who acts as his diabolical agents. This false prophet, working on behalf of the Antichrist, will use this mark to subjugate the world during the tribulation period. John tells us, and I quote, that he causes all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and slave, to receive a mark on their right hand or on their foreheads, and that no one may buy or sell except the one who has the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. So as the word prophet indicates, the false prophet will be a religious leader, absolutely. The kind Jesus warned of when he said, "Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves." That's Matthew 7, verse 15. Many false prophets have come and gone over the centuries, but none have had the devastating impact on the world's population that the false prophet of Revelation will inflict. This guy will use religion to deceive the world. And once deceived, he will use the mark of the beast to enslave all people economically, forcing them to endure the unrelenting tyranny of Satan and the Antichrist. Revelation 13, verse 17, and I hope you're following in your Bibles while I'm teaching here today. Revelation 13, verse 17 tells us what the mark will do on a day-to-day basis. It says, "No one may buy or sell except the one who has the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name." Only those who have this mark or the Antichrist's name or his number identifying them as his followers will be able to sell goods and services to support themselves and secure what they need. Anyone refusing to wear the mark will struggle to even survive. It's very notable that the word mark is translated from the Greek word karagma. The karagma was a symbol used somewhat like notary seals that are used in our day. The symbol consisted of a portrait of the emperor and the year of his reign. Now, it was required to complete to commercial transactions and was stamped in wax on official documents to authenticate their validity. The mark of the beast will function in a very similar way, identifying those who bear it as worshippers of the beast and permitting them to conduct financial transactions, buying and selling. This fusion of government and religion is going to put the squeeze on rebels, leaving them nowhere to turn. And those who refuse the mark will be shut out of society altogether. No one will buy their products or services, barred from employment and from shopping in stores or online. They're going to face bankruptcy and outright starvation. And given our modern financial system, man, it's hard to imagine a scenario in which Christians are shut out like this. But the Bible's very clear that Satan's intent is not only to keep them from means of survival, but also to force them to a decision. Will they continue to stand for Christ, refusing the mark despite the hardships promised? Or will they succumb to the loyalty demands of Satan and take on the mark to relieve that hardship? Loved one, in many countries now, today, Christians face persecution and even death when they stand for Christ. just as those without the mark will during the tribulation period. During that time, these questions will be put before the entire world's population, without exception. They're going to come in the form of the offered mark, supposedly to promote a good life, but with the intent to make clear who will live for Christ and who will yield to Satan. You know, it's not unusual for people who have never read the Bible or heard a sermon to know something about the mark of the beast and its associated number, 666. The mark and number have been featured in novels and Hollywood films, in heavy metal rock and roll. And they involve mystery and terror, but usually with little to no solid biblical context. In fact, some TV and film scripts make jokes about the mark, as if Satan's work can ever be a laughing matter. This exposure is enough to make people wary of the number 666. For example, in the same way, many high-rise building owners refuse to designate a floor number 13, many people try to eliminate the 666 sequence from their phone numbers, home addresses, license plate numbers, and almost any other personal number you can think of. Maybe, just maybe, you've done that as well. The number itself can be a little bit unsettling. No one knows what form the mark of the beast will take. John gives us a mysterious clue that really tantalizes theologians and has done so for centuries. John wrote this. He said, "Here is wisdom. Let him who has understanding calculate the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man. His number is 666. Theories about the meaning of the number 666 run rampant, ranging from the ridiculous to the absurd. No coincidence or fact from the Bible or from history is... none of this should be safe to mock or joke about. We shouldn't even speculate about it. Let's stick with the Bible, amen? For example, Goliath stood 6 cubits high. The head of his spear weighed 600 shekels, and he wore 6 items of armor. We find that in 1 Samuel chapter 17. Now, will the Antichrist be another Goliath? The statue of Nebuchadnezzar stood 60 cubits high, 6 cubits wide, and 6 musical instruments summoned the Babylonians to worship it. Will the Antichrist be a revived Babylonian emperor? Numbers and names and calendars have been just messed with and manipulated to designate the Pope, Hitler, and many U.S. presidents as the Antichrist. But these interpretations are nothing more than contrivances. It's silliness. Loved one, here's the bottom line. No one yet knows the real meaning of 666. Now, the Bible calls 7 a perfect number, while 6 is an incomplete number. When you try to indicate the fraction 2/3 decimally, your calculator strings out an endless succession of 6s. And it never quite completes a precise rendition of 2/3. This may indicate the significance of 666. It is the number of humanity, according to the Bible. And no matter how many 6s you add, it never reaches the perfection of 7, God's number. So, dear one, man without God is always incomplete. And we long for the completeness we can find only in relationship with Him through His Son, Jesus Christ. The Apostle John didn't know how the false prophet could cause a mark to have such power to divide and conquer. John just knew that the false prophet would. But I think we, in this century, have some idea of what can make it possible for the false prophet to effectively weaponize this mark of the beast. And he's going to do it through technology. Living in the first century, John would likely have understood the mark to be like a tattoo or a brand on the skin. The possibility of using a microchip or other technologies we have today would have been unfathomable. He just wouldn't have understood that. But listen, these technologies are advancing almost at Mach speed, and there's little doubt that the technology for implementing the mark of the beast is either already here, or a new one will arise to be fully developed and realized in the time of the tribulation. Let me say this again. I believe that we are already in the last days, and we know the rapture could come at any time, any time. We also know that the mark of the beast will be fully employed in the middle of the 7-year tribulation period. And so, the extreme hardship caused by the mark could only be a mere 3.5 years away from the time you're listening to this podcast, making it a very real danger for much of the world's present population. As we're talking today here, we have no idea exactly how much technology might be employed to implement this coming mark of the beast. But present technology already indicates a couple of ways in which it very well could happen. Excuse me while I rumple up my Bible here, find the right page that I need. One of the things that can happen is this mark of the beast could be developed through microchips and sensors. We've already talked about that. We've heard about that from other people. The practice of implanting microchips in humans is growing because people are attracted to the benefits of ease and safety that they provide. Microchips can be implanted invisibly under the skin. They can be read via short-range frequency identification, which is called RFID signals. They can be read that way to enable the wearer to buy goods in stores without using a plastic card or a cell phone. Microchips can also be used to identify everyone who walks through a security checkpoint. But there is a downside. Some time ago, Fox News reported this. They said there are concerns about the wrong people accessing personal information and tracking you via the chips. Oh boy, think about those words, the wrong people. What could be more wrong than the beast and his conspirators? And yet, despite the serious and obvious downsides, more and more people are willingly acquiring and submitting to microchip implants to take advantage of their perceived convenience and benefits. I've been seeing these video clips on YouTube and on the news. People are willingly doing this. In January 2018, Amazon opened a convenience store in Seattle, testing a new technology that could become common across the nation. So it's based on a grab-and-go concept with no cashiers, no shopping carts, and no checkout lines. Using a combination of cell phone technology and in-store scanners, shoppers' accounts are automatically debited electronically as they carry goods out of the store. Oh my. So picture this. During the tribulation, more scanners reading data from shoppers' implanted microchips as they attempt to buy food or other necessities. If they don't have the mark of approval, if they've refused to worship the Antichrist and acquiesce to the system put in place by the false prophet, guess what? They will go without. Another possible precursor of this mark of the beast is Bitcoin. Think about it. Bitcoin is completely virtual money, not issued or controlled by a centralized government. Physical coins and currency are completely eliminated, and all money is electronic, and it's tracked either by implanted chips or on the internet. And some believe Bitcoin or something akin to it could pave the way for the future mark of the beast. How or if these particular technologies will be used to implement the mark would be just mere speculation at this point in time. The false prophet might use either one of these technologies, either one, or a combination of both, or some technology yet to be invented. If you're listening to this podcast years after I've recorded it, you may well experience technologies far more sophisticated than anything imaginable today in 2024. We won't know for certain how the mark of the beast will be incorporated until it's too late. So what's going to happen in the end? The form and nature of this mark will remain a mystery until it's actually rolled out and implemented. But there's no mystery about the future of those who accept the mark. As long as the beast maintains control, all will be well with those who accept it. But their time of prosperity will be very short, followed swiftly by the inevitable judgment of Almighty God. Here's what Revelation 14, verses 9 through 11 tell us. If anyone worships the beast and his image and receives his mark on their forehead or on his hand, he himself shall also drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out full strength into the cup of his indignation. He shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb. And the smoke of their torment ascends forever and ever. And they will have no rest, day or night, who worship the beast and his image, and whoever receives the mark of his name. This is serious business, dear one. Followers of Jesus who refuse the mark will experience a complete inversion of the fate of those who receive it. While the beast maintains control, they will experience deadly persecution. But after that, John tells us, "And I saw thrones, and they that sat on them, and judgment was committed to them. Then I saw the souls of those who had been beheaded for their witness to Jesus and for the word of God, who had not worshipped the beast or his image and had not received his mark on their foreheads or their hands. And they lived and reigned with Christ for 1,000 years. Loved one, Christians who reject the mark will be acting on the admonition of Christ, who said, "Do not fear those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul, but rather fear him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell." Dear one, you may believe you are safely exempted from this warning because Christ will take the church into heaven in the rapture before the horrors of the tribulation. You will never have to make the decision to refuse the mark and face the suffering that will follow. That's very true. But it does not exempt you from the possibility of facing persecution. Christians have suffered for their faith all throughout history. And many around the world are suffering severely even as you listen to this podcast today. We live in a fallen world, a sin-sick, perverse world, which means the whole creation groans and labors with birth pangs until now, as the Bible says. In Romans 8:22, it talks about birth pangs. These birth pangs will get increasingly worse as we move toward the time when all comes crashing down in the tribulation period. And dear one, even today, you and I must choose. Will we be marked as God's own in our hearts and in our actions, or will we be marked as Satan's own? Will you and I stand for Christ? Will we? No matter the cost? Will we endure any hardship or persecution for Jesus' sake? I'm going to end this today by posing to you one final question, which may be difficult to answer. If you were forced to choose between standing with God by rejecting this mark of the beast or taking it to ensure the immediate safety and security of your family, which would you do? Which would you do? We often tend to make right choices much too complex. When the outcome seems doubtful or ominous, we want to hold off the decision while we weigh the factors and examine all the nuances and consider all the outcomes. But in essence, almost all moral decisions are starkly simple. Simple. Either we stand for God or we fall for Satan. Whether the result will be inconvenient or painful or even fatal should never be a factor. No, the only decision to be made is whether you are on God's side, which means you will follow Him regardless of the cost. The decision may mean repression or loss of freedom. It may even mean death. But if we stand tall and true to God, while all others are taking the mark and bowing to the image, we can rely on God's promise that we will ultimately reign with Him forever. Hallelujah. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior and Lord, this is the perfect time to open your heart to Him today, at this very moment. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. Now is the appointed time. This may be your appointed time, dear one. I want to pray this prayer with you. Open your heart and pray it out loud and receive Jesus as your personal Savior, Lord, and friend. Your life will never be the same again. I promise you that. Let's pray. Dear God in heaven. Yes, pray with me. Dear God in heaven, I come to you in the name of Jesus Christ. Please forgive me for the way I have lived and for the sinful things I have done. Cleanse me with your precious blood from all my sin and unrighteousness. With my mouth, I confess the Lord Jesus, and in my heart, I believe that God has raised Jesus from the dead, and He is alive. This very moment, I accept Jesus Christ as the Savior of my soul, and I make Him the Lord of my life. And according to God's word, which cannot lie, I am washed, cleansed, I am forgiven, I am healed, and I am reborn. And I thank you, my God and my Savior. And I will live for you and serve you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. If you've prayed that prayer with me, you're a citizen of heaven. You are now a new creation in Christ Jesus. If you've prayed that prayer, contact me through my website, yourplaceofgrace.com. Click on the contact tab and write me a quick email and say, Tony, man, I prayed that prayer with you. Jesus is now Lord of my life. If you'll do that, I'm going to send you a word of encouragement. I'll rejoice with you. And what's more, I will send you a free resource, postage paid, to help you get started in this walk with Christ. Thank you, dear one, for listening. And until we meet again, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you. May God have a smiling countenance toward you always, and may he grant you peace, prosperity, protection. May he give you joy unspeakable and full of glory, laughter and unconditional love within your marriage, family, home, relationships. And may God grant you great favor everywhere you step foot, all the days of your very long life. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.
Thank you so much for listening to Your Place of Grace with Anthony Slusis. We trust the podcast was a blessing to you. If you'd like more information about our ministry, resources, testimonials, and to schedule Anthony to speak at your event, go to yourplaceofgrace.com.